Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to episode 218 of the Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. Spanish. I have no idea.
It's the last one, so I thought I'd throw out the
right. I am Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And we are at the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge for the last ever episode of Calypso Cigar Review Podcast.
Yep.
Hate to say.
We might every now and then do a special appearance one, but for the most part, this is it.
Yep, this is it. And we had people that were supposed to be scheduled to come on the show. Fuck you guys. You're not going to be on the show now, so unless you want to be on cinema.
Right. Yep, we're switching to cinema.
Reason being is we just...
Except Jill Wagner. She wants to only do it on Calypso Cigar Review. We'll change it for her.
Yeah, right. I think she's probably going to be okay
being on cinema.
So we've been doing cinema for a little bit, on and off. It kind of started and had an okay following, and then it kind of died because we stopped doing it. What it is it's
no
more
momentum.
more of a movie centric show. So
guy-centric,
we'll still be smoking cigars on the show, but not really talking about them. And we'll be mostly talking about movies in general. So we'll be reviewing everything from new to old, and maybe
movie
even,
news, movie history,
movie news,
news,
movie history,
like that,
TV
yeah.
shows, whatever. We're going to cover the whole gambit.
Right.
Cinema. The idea is to cover things that are syntastic or rated R stuff or whatever. Right. But we're going to cover the whole gambit. It's
exactly.
going to be a little bit of everything, but reason being is we're both reps, we're both on the road. We just don't have the time to put forward to
right.
to do this on a regular basis, which I know you guys expect to have one weekly. It may be easier for us to do this.
We're smoking an hour and a half cigar. We literally have to smoke the whole hour and a half. The show might only be 45 minutes, but we
yeah.
still have to smoke it that whole hour and a half.
That's a big time commitment from us.
It is.
Each
we can
week.
Do two shows in that same time frame on cinema. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll still be using the same RSS feed. So people who are listening to Calypso Cigar Review, if you stick around, you'll be listening to cinema. We'll still have the show up on iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio, iTunes,
as
absolutely.
Cinema.
Yeah.
So stick around if you like us, if you like the banter. It's going to be pretty much the same show, just not a cigar review show. We'll be
and if you have friends that don't like cigars, but like movie talk, it's just the time to get them to start listening to us. You think we're funny? Say, hey, now these guys aren't talking cigars. Listen to them. They're kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Notice
yep.
I said kind of. Funny.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's okay.
Depends on the episode, yeah.
That's true.
Depends on how drunk we get, which
or
that's
mates
the
here.
Cinema is going to be also all about drinking. We're going to get really drunk before each show. I don't know if that's
no,
true
no,
or not.
That's true. It could be.
It could be.
It
yeah.
could be episodes like that.
It could be episodes where we're just hammered. Shit
or when
hammered.
We go to Mexico and sit in your shower in Mexico.
Yeah. Called those. Shit Hammered Reviews. That's the new show. Instead of cinema, Shit Hammered Reviews. Right. We're shit hammered every single time we review something.
Special thanks to Matt Badosky because he's going to continue to let us record from here. He's
yes.
still going to be a sponsor.
Yep.
But we wouldn't have done 218 shows without Matt Badosky, so thank you, Matt.
Correct. Yeah. Thank
cigars.
You very much, Matt, for sponsoring the show, giving us the opportunity to get out there and do something kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue with us not doing the cigar review shows anymore is that, as you know, when you're in cigar media and that's all you do and you're just a guy smoking in your garage and writing reviews, oh, they want to send you samples like crazy because your word means something. It's
yeah.
about getting
yeah.
that out there, and you've got a voice for your reviews and everything else. Once you become a cigar rep, suddenly you're a part of the enemy, and they don't want to send you
you've
cigars.
You've had that
anymore.
Happen. I haven't. I've
yeah.
had people go, here, come try this.
Yeah,
review
yeah
this.
You know. We don't get it as much.
But it's usually reps that are telling us to try it.
Exactly.
If you call
reps,
the actual
yeah.
sales managers and stuff, yeah, they might be a little hesitant.
Yeah. So, I mean, the offers stopped coming or the samples
yeah.
stopped coming once we got once we became cigar reps and
yeah,
got
we,
into that.
We
industry.
Ran through everything in Matt's humidor, so we
yeah,
were like,
yeah.
And
now it's like we're buying the stuff, so I'm kind of
okay.
done with it.
But, right.
Not that we don't love cigars. We still love cigars. I still smoke them every day. I'd still, even if I wasn't a rep for a cigar company, I'd
yeah.
probably still smoke a cigar every day.
Yeah.
It's part of my makeup as a person.
And since we do have one last review, let's go ahead and talk about it.
Yep.
Somewhat appropriate, since Eddie Gavito was one of our first sponsors.
Eddie Gavito.
Of Altadis USA.
Yep.
And, this one he gave both of us at different moments, but it's that new Romeo that's blended or that they joined with Aging Room.
Mm-hmm. So it's using Aging Room tobaccos
yeah.
in a Romeo. So it's got two bands on it. You
yeah.
got this cool super duper world.
Super
so it's
duper.
Like the whole picture of representation of the world. I don't know from what era, but looks pretty modern.
During the era of life.
The small batch F25
yes.
is the name of this
particular
cigar.
That's all the deets you're going to get.
Cigar, because Cigar Detonate is not here.
And Cigar Detonate will, on occasion, join us on cinema.
Yep. And, we still may get cigar reps in. Who knows?
You never know.
It's all very fluid, and that's
it's
the cool thing.
It's just not going to be a structured show anymore.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It is. Because
cool. we're not structured to begin with. It was hard work trying to pretend to be structured.
Right.
Can I say a cutter?
Sure. You mean my cool Zycar cutter that looks like it's made of wood? Because it is
it
made
is
of wood.
Wood.
It has wood on it, yeah.
Wait, you just gave me something that's got wood?
Yeah, I just gave you my wood. You're handling my wood right now.
Yeah, well, shit happens.
See, now, you know what? You've been over to Cigar Art. There's a place over in Dallas named Cigar Art. And they're kind of one
Cigart.
Of these. It's Cigar Art.
I always run it
Cigar
together.
Art.
Cigart.
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 Yeah, Cigart. Which they have lawn darts there either. Cigar shop. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Those are banned now. You can't get lawn darts anymore.
Life
but
sucks.
Cigar Art is one of these frou-frou cigar shops that has a lot of cool stuff. I would say hipster cigar shop, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of really cool hipster products. But one of the things they have is a watch that's made of wood.
Yeah,
and it looks a lot like this. So I'm kind of thinking of getting one so I can match my
your watch
wood
with your
watch
cutter
to my wood cutter. Yeah,
that's not nerdy at all.
Kind of cool, kind of dapper, I think.
Oh, you think dapper?
I'm going for dapper.
Okay, all right.
But that's about as dapper as it gets. I'm still going to wear t-shirts. And
okay,
hats
there's
and
a difference. There's a line in Bull Durham.
Yeah,
where it says if you get fungus on your shower shoes, you're a slob. Unless you win 20 in the show, then you're called eccentric. Yeah, when you're a millionaire, that's dapper. But if you do it now, you're a nerd.
A nerd? No. It's called a hipster.
Nerd.
It's a hipster move. Hipster move. Hipster!
You know, one of the owners there used to work here at Calypso.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give it the deets on this because I found it real fast.
You found deets? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it. Country of origin, Dominican Republic. It's made at the Tabacalera de Palma, La Palma, which is the, aging room guys.
Right.
So, it's real easy. Dominican wrapper, binder, filler. That really needed to be out there. Okay, so
thank you for sharing that with
6x54. Yeah,
yeah.
Toro Extra is the
size.
It's
got a wide open draw.
Yeah.
It's like how my nose whistled when I was.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wide open, isn't it?
I mean, it's like really chocolatey,
mm-hmm.
like really chocolatey. So we're gonna give this a light, each with our
see
own lighters. I think we're both using jet lines here, if I'm not
think
mistaken.
So. Just good. As you mentioned the name, mine went out. So.
Yep.
I put
the kibosh on the jet line. Does it still have fluid in it, or did it run out of fluid?
Still have the flu?
Does it still have the flu? Yeah. The jet line flu.
The jet line. My lighter's got the flu, man.
Get sick while you're smoking.
Do you get a refund?
Right.
Can you replace that thing for me?
Yeah, fluid, buddy. That's why you're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you get the flu. You should drink a lot of fluids.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
I just filled this guy up. Man, that stupid burners, man. You know what? I love how fast three burners light your cigar, but man, it just
burns
through the fuel, man.
It does.
I still like my single flame. If I could have the perfect single flame lighter that never goes, never dies, like that one that we used to have.
Yeah.
That Zycar made, and then
the
they
original,
changed it and messed it up.
The original executive, yes.
Yeah.
That they still owe me one.
Well, you'll get the new one and like it.
I ran into John Dial. Frenchie the other day. It's so great.
Frenchie?
That's what Brian McGee calls him.
He calls him Frenchie?
Because his last name
Frenchie?
Looks French.
Oh,
the way
Oliver?
He's spelled.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I'm Italian. He goes, I don't know. I'm calling you Frenchie.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling him that.
I ran into Frenchie the other day. I'm going to have to tell him he owes me a lighter.
There you go.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, no rep talk.
Yeah. No, we're going to all rep talk. It's the last episode. We got to rep talk. Now, because the next cinema, there's no rep talk. I mean, we're not going to talk about our jobs at all. It's all movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get the rep talk out of the way. Let's see. Anything new?
Speaking of Zycar, I ran into Zycar Jim.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He now manages, he was managing a store in Austin before he became the Zycar rep in our area and became a legend. Matter of fact, that was his Facebook name, Zycar Jim, and it was so popular that people are still calling him that, even though he's not with Zycar anymore.
Yeah.
But ran into him, had a good time, nice visit with him.
Good
to see him. He looks a lot more relaxed. So
that's
this is
good.
What
that's
he needs
good.
To be doing. So that's cool. Wearing shorts, a t-shirt. He was, I can't remember, Navy or Marines, one of the two, but,
You got me.
Big burly guy, not in a heavy way, but, just very muscular, very athletic.
Very stout.
He's probably 20 years older than me, and I wouldn't fuck with him.
Uh-uh.
He'd kick my ass all over the fucking room. But he probably wouldn't because he's that nice of guy.
He's very
really
nice.
Cool.
Yeah,
so it was kind of cool to just see him in that different element. I was happy to see that.
That's cool. We are pairing today, by the way, for this last episode of Calypso Cigar Review ever. And what are we pairing with, Randy?
Going back to another old friend,
Garrison
Brothers.
But this Garrison Brothers is different. How
is
it different?
It's only made for Total Wine and Spirits in the Texas area. Yeah, so if you have Total
Wine. So not only is Garrison Brothers exclusive to Texas, but this is even more exclusive because it's just for Total Wine.
Total Wine.
Yep. So, wait, okay, well, question.
What?
Because Total Wine is not just in Texas. Are they selling it?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. But I do know that, remember when we had Dan Garrison on?
Yeah.
Callback to an old show.
Yep.
Very old, like 20-something.
Yeah, way back when we had the Garrison guy.
He, Remember, he said that they're not distributing much outside of Texas.
Yeah.
I bet
so
it's
I
not.
Wonder if this is their open door for other states. We
could
have to look
be,
that up.
I don't,
and see.
Got a, I don't know if they've got enough distributor, you know, enough capabilities.
This totally
to
tastes
make,
different than the other Garrison Brothers. Though. Yeah, I mean, this is a lot more floral and.
A little less fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's still tasty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still a big fan of bourbon, tell you what. That's
yeah,
my
especially
stuff
Garrison
right
Brothers. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance when you're in Texas, stop and get it.
Do we know how much that is versus the regular mm-mm stuff?
No.
Wine? No.
Cigar 8 Nate bought it, so I don't know. He just dropped it off.
Shit. Yeah. Shit. We have no idea.
I think he said it was close, so it's probably in the $80, $90 range.
Hmm.
Although the original Garrison Brothers has actually gone down to the low 70s. You can actually
yeah, I saw that. I saw that, yeah. That's good stuff, man. If you haven't had it, definitely give it a go. If you're in the Texas area, if you haven't tried it, it's pretty damn fantastic, man. Yeah.
Now, this doesn't taste like a Romeo, but it doesn't taste like an aging room either. It's just... I think it's just getting going, but it's got some
kind of in the middle there. Yeah. The chocolate that I was getting on the cold draw is not really there. It's just a lot of leather and a little bit of spice to it. I haven't retroheld yet, but
no, it's stout on the retrohale. That's when you feel the power.
Whoa!
Told you.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of pepper there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah.
So. I have a road story, so I'll let you...
My eyes are tearing up.
But I already told a road. They are.
Yeah.
Okay, I already told a road story, so you can tell one, then I got one to tell after
that. Okay, what we got?
No, you get one.
Oh, okay. I get one? Yeah. I was on the road.
That's enough. Okay, so I ran into...
I hit an armadillo.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Texas speed bump. I'm not sure if it was dead or already... Or I have no idea. All I know
it's
is
dead
I,
now.
It's definitely dead now. All I know is I hit it, I'm like, shit. And I pulled over to the side of the road because I thought I popped a tire.
Right.
This is at night.
Yeah,
and I pull over on the side of the road, and I'm like, "Damn, son of a bitch!" Just when I was driving home from Missouri,
all right?
So it was like 7 hour drive,
ugh,
and I was already beat. I'm like, I was about an hour and a half away from home. I'm like, I just want to be home. So I felt something like smack, you know, hit my car. And I'm like, "Son of a bitch!" So I pull over to the side of the road, I get out, I look at my car. It's like blood all over the side of my car. I'm like, "All right, I hit something." So I'm just hoping this isn't turning into a horror
splinter
movie. Yeah, and there's like a freaking dead body on the street or something. You know?
With thorns. And
but I saw, I absolutely saw nothing in the road. It was just like, I was driving, you know, you get to that, you get where you get drive blindness where you just kind of, you know, you're looking at the road, but you don't really realize you're looking at the road. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's just, you just, if you drive more than 6-7 hours in a row, you just,
you
kind of zone out. So I was zoning out, listening to a podcast, you know, Hardcore History, which is a really cool show, by the way. And, and, yeah, I pull over side of the road. I get out, see the blood on my car. I'm like, God, I hope this isn't a person. You know, so I'm, like, looking down the road with my little flashlight on my phone. And there's an armadillo just all bleh, just splatted. I'm like, okay, I guess I just made roadkill. So I killed an armadillo.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't call them Texas road bumps for nothing or speed bumps.
Well, that was
or
in Missouri, though.
No, this is right out. It was an hour. It was I was already in Texas, so I was on my way back.
Okay, what's worse, the first hour and a half into a long road trip or the last hour and a half?
The last hour
they're
and
both,
a half
they
me,
both suck ass, because the first hour and a half, it's like, am I ever getting anywhere?
The first hour and a half, I'm usually pretty excited because I got music on, I'm having a good time, I'm doing things, I'm on the phone, I'm whatever. But the last hour and a half, or the last 2 hours of a long drive is the slowest, most, time seems like it's not moving. You can put whatever you want music on wise. You can open the window. You can do whatever you want, but it just feels like it just sucks. It just sucks.
That's usually the only time I'll grab a cigar.
It's
an hour and a half. Let's grab a cigar.
See, I don't smoke in my car, so.
I'll do it then just because it's like an hour and a half. I know then I can judge how far I'm going. You know, like, man, I hit Hillsboro the other day and just to the Dallas side of Hillsboro coming back from San Antonio.
Yeah.
Traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Hillsboro is like 65 miles from where I live. Mm. Took me 2.5 hours to get home.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Yeah, that's what I hate about those GPS things. The GPS thing will give you like, this is how long it's going to take you based on the mileage, but not based on traffic and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? So it's, you know, it can say 6 hours. It's a 6.5 hour drive home, but really it's an 8 hour drive home.
Right,
because
you're
going to hit traffic. Not only that, but it doesn't gauge speed limits either. It just goes by how far it is and an average speed limit. Because
I like to prove them wrong.
Yeah, and go like, it says 6, I'm going to be there at 9.
It's going to be 6, I'm going to be there at 5:58, you some bitch.
I wish, no. On that drive from Missouri to Texas or from Kansas to Texas, it was Overland Park to Texas to home. It was, you know, you hit so many spots where it's like you're down, you're 75, oh, now you're 60, oh, now you're 50, oh, now you're 35. And it's like, oh.
Those US highways are the worst.
God, I hate that. I freaking hate that.
I know, and I'm going to do that next week.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be doing it too.
Yeah.
On the West Coast, because that's West Coast.
That's the way it is.
Western
man.
Texas.
Yeah,
it's
West
all
Texas
US
is highways. All that stuff. And there's always an enormous amount of cops out there just waiting to give you tickets. So
they wait at each speed limit change.
Each little speed limit change. They're there.
Ha ha!
Yep.
You thought it was 45. It's 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know you're only doing 37, but guess what?
Guess what? That's you get enough. A ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
bastards. Yeah, that's a pain in the ass. I hate that. So. Yeah, that's part of the job that's not necessarily the most fun thing in the world.
No.
I really don't mind the driving anymore. And I used to be a drive whistle. Last year when we went to maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't know. We went to Disney World.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. That was our first summer.
Yeah,
that's wow.
And at that point, I didn't have this job. I hated even driving to Houston. I'm like, oh, 4 hours in the car. Oh, I swear to God,
it drives
you
nuts.
Yeah, you know. And then we're driving friggin' 14 hours or whatever it is to Florida. And I was such a little bitch. Like 3 hours in, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. I'm dead. Falling in bed. Wake up. I had to make sure my wife would be awake to wake and make sure that I wouldn't fall asleep.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's like, just go back and go to sleep. So then I'm going to sleep, and I'm like, I can't get sleep. I can't get comfortable.
What a baby.
I was just a big baby. And I told her now, I was like, I can drive like 9 hours. It doesn't matter. And it's like, next time we go, she's like, next time we go, you're driving in. You're driving the whole way. I'm like,
Right.
Hate to tell you, but we're flying. I'm not doing that shit again.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a... I just remember getting to Florida and passing out on the beach in Destin.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
It was like horrible parents. Like, we're both like, yeah, you guys go play... Our kids would have been kidnapped when any number of bad, horrible things could have happened. I was just passed out on the beach.
At least you're Mexican, so you didn't burn.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't. Everybody else burned.
Yeah.
To a crisp. I was like, yeah.
funny.
That's a good time, man.
Yeah, this is bold on the retrohale and everything, but when you're smoking it, it doesn't
it's
feel
pretty
like
medium body. The smoke is medium body, but man, that retrohale will knock you on your ass. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Altadis, right?
Yeah.
So you got to give them something for trying different things with their brands.
They've been doing that. I
like
that. You know, so
that's what I like about Altadis.
I don't know who distributes it. I don't know if it's Aging Room or Altadis, but nevertheless, it's a good cigar.
Yeah, pretty tasty so far. We'll see how it continues to go here. So we got some movie reviews coming up because we're still doing that. We've always done that on the show. We've got a couple things to talk about, some movies we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple TV shows have started up that I'm pretty excited about. We'll talk about as well. And you'll get more of that on cinema. So we're going to take a little break. We'll come back for the second third of the Aging Room F20.
Romeo
Aging Room thing.
Right.
What was this thing called? Son of a bitch. It's called.
It's not called.
The Romeo by Romeo Julieta Aging Room Small Batch F25. And another word that I'm not going to say because I'll destroy it. So we'll be back.
All right.
All right, and we're back for the second third of the Aging Room Romeo combo fantastic thing. We're going to call that. That's what we're calling it.
Cheeseburger and fries,
yeah.
Romeo and
something. Randy just let out a big old fart.
That was a nice one, too, man.
That was a nice one.
Yeah.
You know what's really bad about... Okay, I don't know if how many of you out there actually use a CPAP, but because I'm a fat bastard, I have to use a CPAP.
I don't know how many people out here actually farted.
Yeah,
but
I've actually farted. But the worst thing is when you have your CPAP on, you're sucking all the air, and then you fart, and it's a really bad one. It goes right in your nose. That's just bad. That's horrible.
That would be bad.
And it's even worse when someone else does it.
Yeah.
You got the person sitting next to you, and they fart, and then you get their fart right up your nose. Not a good thing at all.
Yes, that's awesome.
Not a good thing at all.
I need to start dating a chick with a CPAP just so
right,
I can do that.
Like, fart right over her nose hole and just suck it right in, man.
So it's like worse than a Dutch oven.
Oh, it's by far worse because it just like that whole point of the CPAP is to suck air in and push it through your nose to open your airways so you can breathe better so you're not snoring and having heart attacks while you're sleeping. And yeah, when you fart, it's bad news. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really bad news.
Chris was the one who died from a Dutch oven.
What so I deal with is the my wife doesn't want to change the cat litter, and to her it's like, I don't even smell it. But for me, it's like right in my nose. I'm like, oh, fucking cat shit. I have to go and change the litter because I can't take it. It's just horrible.
So it's a double duty thing.
It's a
double. So it's like you do the CPAP so you don't annoy her, and then you have to change
the litter too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not fart.
And not fart.
Yeah.
You're Mexican, though. You can't do that.
I always fart. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I have beans in my blood. I just can't. I'm fart every. I can eat nothing, but I can drink water. Uh-huh. And I will fart.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I'm just farting.
Farty, fart, yeah. fart. Yeah.
So I must have some Mexican in me.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Jesus. Fart talk.
That's we've never really done enough fart talk in our lives. So, speaking of farts,
mm-hmm.
no check. We had a big anniversary of a movie that is much maligned.
It is.
The past,
it is.
20 years.
And what's funny about that is that as much as the malignment, maligned is maligned. These are not words.
Right, no, they're not.
As much as it's maligned, there's been a very big, large cult following to it. And, yeah. And actually, what's funny is now that it's at its 20-year anniversary, and the movie we're talking about is
Waterworld.
Kevin Costner, epic.
There's some revisionist history.
There's some revisionist history being written about how friggin' awesome and badass it is. Yeah. And you know why? Because it didn't have digital effects. Because this was back in the old days when you did everything in camera.
Right.
And that's an impressive freaking feat.
Yeah.
To pull that, to film on water.
Mm-hmm.
And to have all those special effects.
And they were not like, oh, there's a shore like 2 miles. No,
they
were like they
were
hundreds
out
of
in
miles
the freaking
out
water.
In the water.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and, that's pretty cool stuff, man.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Still not a good movie, but it's an entertaining movie.
It's an entertaining movie. I've never claimed it to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Let's clarify right off the bat. The movie was not a bomb. That movie made money.
No,
that movie made money.
It didn't make money here, but globally it made a crap ton of money.
Costner says every investor of that movie made a profit, so that movie did not bomb. Now, the post one, we can't say that about. That movie bombed. But now, Waterworld was fun. It was entertaining.
Crazy
at the time, the biggest budget of all time.
Yeah, crazy ass performance by Dennis Hopper.
Oh, Dennis Hopper was
fun.
Great.
Over the top,
Michael Jeter was great.
In a fun way, yeah.
Jeter was in a couple of costume movies, and he was great in both costume movies. I like him. I remember Ebert having a quote. He said that he understood why Costner played the role the way he played it as the loner, but he would have liked him to be a little more Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mad Max was a human. Costner's character is not human.
Mm-hmm.
He's what's it called? Mutation.
Yeah.
And people want to kill him. So why is he going to be all happy and fun? And he's going to be quiet and separate and, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
And so I got that part. I don't know why Ebert thought that was a bad sign. But Ebert wound up liking the movie. He gave it a really good review.
Yeah.
One of the few people at the time that did. But, yeah, you're right. The special effects for that day and age, you know, it was the most expensive movie of all time at that point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people blame that on Costner being verbose and, you know, and grandiose and all this kind of stuff. No, the atoll crashed and sunk. They had to rebuild that.
Yep.
That was like $40 million then.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a great line. People don't think of him as having a good sense of humor, but he does. He said, "I was losing my hair at the time, and Rogaine's really expensive." So that was a funny line. That's why that movie cost so much. But nowadays, if you look at it, you don't understand why that movie cost so much.
Yeah.
But at the time, yeah, it looked like, I could see where that movie cost $175 million to make.
It's on the screen. I mean, it's a very well-made movie. It's fun to watch. It is probably one of the, if you think about it, in the past 20 years, it's definitely ranks up there as one of the quintessential summer blockbusters, mm-hmm. just because it is that over-the-top crazy summer movie that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
It was just probably at the tail end of that where it was just a little too crazy at the time. You know? Now it seems kind of tame by comparison, you know, when you look at Jurassic World and all these other things. But, you know, now it's all done digitally and it's a totally different ballgame. So.
Yeah. And, like I said, some great performances. Dennis
great
Hopper
stunts.
Was
great stunts in there.
There's some great action.
Mm-hmm.
Some cool tough guy lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that scene where Costner goes to rescue the girl. We're assuming people have seen this movie. It came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where Costner goes there's to rescue spoilers. The girl on the boat and Dennis Hopper's like, "What are you here for?" He goes, "I want the girl." He goes, "She talks a lot." He goes, "I noticed." It's just a great line. You know, you had a lot of lines like that in there that were kind of funny.
Yep.
But, a solid movie. The funny thing about that movie is that it came out, and I can tell you this, and I have no notes, because this was a big day in my life, not because of the movie, but everything that happened this day. About July 28th, 1995.
Okay.
You know where that Cinemark right there on Josie and 635 is?
Yep.
That theater opened July 28th, 1995. The first movie they showed there was Waterworld, and my brother and I were at the first showing of that. The other big movie that opened that day, see if you remember this movie, that there was another big summer blockbuster that opened the same day as Waterworld. The Net with Sandra Bullock. Now, you talk about a movie that bombed. That movie bombed. That movie didn't do well at all. But it was also a real good friend of mine's birthday, and we had a big surprise birthday party for him that night. And it was this girl I'd been wanting to hook up with for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad because my brother wasn't invited to this party. So I invited my brother. He hooked up with that fucking girl. Pissed me off. That's why that day means a lot to me. So now that I'm thinking about it, I hate Waterworld.
I love that. I love that quote that Kevin Reynolds. The two Kevins were working on it. So Kevin Reynolds and Kevin Costner apparently did not get along.
And
they
worked
filming.
On a bunch of stuff.
And they'd worked on Robin Hood and whatever else.
Fandango.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And so I guess they got in such a fight that he left the film. Costner finished it, And he was quoted as saying that Kevin Costner should only act in movies that he directs. That way he can work with his favorite actor and director.
Exactly.
Which is a great quote.
And, you know, so they have since gone on to work together again. They did Hatfields and McCoys and then did some other stuff. But, yeah, that was a great line. I mean, even at the time, you know, it's like, it's kind of funny. It's a funny line. But that was also when Costner's going through his divorce.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone, so he had this squeaky clean image. Then all of a sudden, people found out that he was cheating on his wife in Hawaii while they were filming this movie. And mm-hmm. so now he became the bad guy. And So, yeah, that movie was destined to fail, but still wound up making money, as we've seen.
Yeah. And for Joss Whedon fans out there, he did actually fly out to work on the script. this is a quote from him. Flew out on the set to do last-minute rewrites on the script.
Rewrites. I'm hunting wabbit.
I am hunting wabbits. He later described it as 7 weeks of hell.
Well, I remember, and you might see them on there. If I remember correctly, they started filming before the script was finished.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing? That movie really didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, Costner star power, the special effects, everything, it wound up doing well, and that's fine. But next time you hear someone say that Waterworld is one of the biggest bombs ever, correct them. It is not a bomb.
Yep.
Like you said, is it a great movie? No. But is it a fun popcorn movie? Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper had back-to-back years of being the bad guy in the biggest summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
The year before was Speed. He was the bad guy in Speed. And the next year he was the bad guy in... Oh, there was a funny part in Waterworld when... he's trying to get information from these two guys to find out where Costner's character went.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you tell me, I won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells him, and he's getting ready to shoot him. He goes, you said you wouldn't kill us. He goes, I probably did. And he just points this guy. This guy
kills him,
That's funny. He goes, yeah, I probably did. But you know whose first movie appearance that was?
Mm-hmm. Jack Black.
Jack Black. He was the pilot.
He was the pilot, yeah.
Chuck. Maybe he didn't go by Charles. Call him Chuck.
Yeah,
that was funny. That was Jack Black.
That little girl that was in there, she ended up being in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. And as a little girl, this is not a pedophilia type statement. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was like, man, she's going to grow up and be a really pretty girl. She had that olive skin.
Yep.
Then you saw Napoleon Dynamite and you're like, ew.
the same exact face she had when she was a little girl. But
not the olive skin.
Yeah.
And like, ew. Okay, there was a rumor. I don't know. And I hate spreading rumors, but it's on IMDb, so I didn't start the rumor, but... Apparently, there was another actress scheduled to play the Gene Triplehorn part,
mm-hmm.
and her and Costner could not get along, so he fired her like 2 days into the set, to the shooting. And so they're trying to recast, and Gene Triplehorn wanted this part so bad that she basically threw herself at Kevin Costner to get this part.
Yeah.
Now, whether he, I don't know, let's just say she got the part. So we don't know, but she did get the part. And that was back when she was still hot.
Yeah. I still never liked her, though. I can't stand her as an
She's
actress.
She's got a weird... Okay. Oh, the scene where he cuts their hair off.
Yeah,
I thought she looked a lot better with her short hair than she did with the long hair. So.
Yep.
But
Gary Busey and Lawrence Fishburne turned down the part of Deacon. Wow.
Oh man. Well, good because Busey might have been fun at it.
Yeah.
But Dennis Hopper was just awesome because he could play over the top and he'd still laugh at it.
Roger Corman was reported as passing on making this film because he felt that he could make it for less than $3 million.
What? Well, he probably could.
He could not make it for less than $3 million. Yeah. Wow, $3 million. That would have been a totally... It was someone's bathtub or something. In a
cardboard
pool.
Scenery in the background. Yeah. That wouldn't even... Wow. That wouldn't even pay Costner's hair bill.
Wow.
$3 million.
No kidding.
But, jeez. Man, that set off his negative run, though.
It really did, yeah. You know, it really did.
He almost redeemed himself the next year with Tin Cup, because Tin Cup got really good reviews, did really well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, boom, it was like bomb for a while. And it's wasn't really till Open Range before he really had another certified big hit.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at his list of films here, shall we?
Message in a Bottle did okay, but it was a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Nicholas Sparks. I have no idea who that is.
Walk to Remember, The Notebook.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Waterworld, then Tin Cup. Tin Cup did good. The Postman sucked. Message in a Bottle. For the Love of the Game.
That did okay, but it didn't great.
Which should not have been directed by Sam Raimi.
No.
It just didn't fit. No. Play It to the Bone.
He just had a walk-on part.
Yeah, 13 Days.
I thought it was a great movie that just didn't do well.
Never saw it. 3,000 Miles from Graceland, I enjoyed.
Fun popcorn movie.
Yep. Great ending, too. Yeah. Dragonfly, which I thought was interesting.
I
like Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Open Range is great. That's greatness. It's one of the best. Upside of Anger, which I never saw.
I love. I loaned it to you.
You did?
You never gave it back.
Do you have it on DVD?
Yeah, I gave it to you on DVD.
Oh, shit. I got to find it.
Rumor has it.
The Guardian.
Guardian was solid.
Him and Ashton.
They had a decent chemistry. I was kind of shocked that they would have the chemistry they wanted.
Mr. Brooks was badass. I love that one. Swing Vote wasn't a fan of that. New Daughter. Nah. Company Man.
New Company Man was solid, just very depressing.
Field of Dreams 2, Lockout.
Oh, that's a short comedy thing. It was funny, though. he picks on Zac Efron in that. It's awesome.
I know. Hatfields and McCoys, which is awesome. Horrible. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Superman, Man of Steel. Yeah.
He was great in that.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
It was okay.
3 Days to Kill was fun. Awesome. Draft Day is horrible. Black and White, didn't see it. McFarlane USA. Her's good. I haven't seen it.
Did watch it. Good, solid movie.
Recommend. Oh, you watched it? Yeah, okay, good
movie. It's one of those typical heart-tugging sports movies like you expect, but
yeah.
It's a true story. So
he does well with the sports movies. Yeah. He just kind of fits in that genre,
but,
I guess.
But yeah, Waterworld's kind of where it was like...
Yeah, it was kind of the start of the descent there.
People were kind of tired of him by that point.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you get really big. You know, and people they've all done it. Brad Pitt's gone through an era of people are like, okay, I'm sick of Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. Now he's like the most popular guy on the planet. But man, he had like a 10-15 year period where nobody gave a shit if Robert Downey lived or died.
It was the whole, you know, there's a difference between the actor and the person. And
yeah,
he was doing some stupid shit. As a person, which I think affected how he was seen in his movies. I mean, Chaplin is probably one of his best performances, that was right in the middle of all of his bad stuff that he was doing. So
a movie called Heart and Souls, I wouldn't say with my wife, mom. I mean,
it was entertaining.
It was entertaining. He was good in that. But Chaplin was great. He was really good in that. But yeah, all actors, if you get to, okay, like an Ed Norton's not going to get that. He's never going to be that big.
Yeah.
You know. But a Brad Pitt, a Costner, and Tom Cruise. You know,
Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis had a big part. He had a big chunk of his career where it was just like bomb, bomb, bomb.
We're tired of you now. And then finally people will start getting nostalgia like, I kind of remember I liked old Bruce Willis. Let's go watch his movie. His new movie. Liam Neeson had a long stretch.
He did.
So that's almost a compliment if you hit that lull because that means that, you made it big.
Yep.
You know.
Now you're paying for it.
Yeah. We didn't make it big yet.
No. We have
but
not
people
made
still
it big
going, whatever the fuck happened to those guys? Oh, wait. I never even heard of them.
Exactly.
But that was a landmark movie when that came out. And, man, it was like anchovies. You either loved it or you hated it.
Yeah. I remember being on the fence about it when it came out, but then seeing it later on HBO, and I'm like, that was a really fun movie. Like, why?
Yeah.
I wonder why I did so bad. It just, you know.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah. I mean, it did $88 million here, $175 overseas, and then it did, like, shitloads of money. See, I guess people realized it was good, and when it came out on VHS, because this was still VHS days, it sold like crazy on VHS.
Yeah, I did crazy bang up money on VHS.
Yeah.
And movies do that nowadays, man. They come out and do some crazy business on the video. But
I've got some movie news.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
There's a movie that's getting tons of publicity.
All right,
I know you've
heard
of
this.
The Revenant.
The Revenant, yeah.
You know who wrote that?
Who? Your buddy?
Mark Smith.
Really?
He wrote the screenplay for it. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know it either. And if you don't know, Mark Smith wrote Vacancy.
Vacancy, yeah.
One of my favorite movies. For what it is, anyway. But he wrote The Revenant, and he's also writing the script for the new Wonder Woman movie. So
that's cool. Very
cool.
He's
really hitting it big time. And he's Todd Vance's best friend from, like, fourth grade or something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah. Know the guy, he asks about me every time he talks to Todd.
That's
kind of cool. And
that's
he wrote The Revenant.
Cool.
And this movie's getting tons of... So Todd showed me the bootleg trailer. He had a bootleg trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd hates Westerns. I'm like, it's not a Western, but it looks awful Western-y for you. And he's like, I know, I'm not going to like this. A bunch of horse riding, a bunch of fighting on horses and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're going to hate this.
Yeah, that's the one with, what's his name, right? DiCaprio.
Yeah, DiCaprio.
Right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, get this, that movie, they had... they were filming it. It was supposed to be snow all the time. They didn't have enough snow. It was one of the driest winters ever up there. They filmed in Canada or something. So they were flying in snow from around the world just to dump snow. As a matter of fact, they still have one scene left they have to finish.
Oh, my God.
But they're waiting for the snow to come. They'll do this one scene, and then they can finish the editing and get it. Because it's supposed to come out Christmas Day.
Yeah. I've seen a trailer for it. It looks badass.
It does look badass.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. So anyway, Mark Smith wrote that.
That's cool. That's very cool. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that now. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big DiCaprio fan.
I'm not either, but he's won me over. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys I thought I'd never like, but then you see him in certain roles, you're like, okay. Kind of like Matt Damon for a little while, I couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of won me over, but he's kind of lost me again.
Yeah.
But there was a time where, Affleck's kind of lost me again.
Yeah, now he's Batman. Jesus.
Gone Girl. You still got to see Gone Girl.
I know. I still need to see
Creepy
it.
Movie, man.
I've heard.
Yeah. So, man, we went all over the world on that one.
Yeah, we did.
All over the water world.
All over the water world, yeah. Oh, and I love that, too. The beginning was with the Universal logo, and then it fills up with water. Like, yeah, that was cool. Awesome. I love it when they do stuff like that on Universal. Awesome. That's good. That was fun stuff. If you haven't seen Waterworld in a long time, give it another go. It's fun. Just turn
Don't watch the director's cut. It's long, and there's some parts that really need to be cut out, and glad they did cut them out. But it's fun. Mm-hmm. We watched it here about 6 months ago.
Yep. It's a blast.
Last hour, it was fun.
It's good stuff.
Love the guy in the valley.
Well, yeah.
The atrocities, like, thank God. Yeah. Great movie. Great. Some great one-liners. Mm-hmm. And, I'll remember that day forever, man. It was a crazy day.
Yeah, so what you do is you watch Mad Max Fury Road, which is all about the desert, and then watch Waterworld, and you can kind of see the the polar opposites of the apocalypse there.
Right, exactly.
So you haven't seen Mad Max, the new one, right?
Oh, not the new one. No,
it's freaking cool, man.
Is it?
It's cool. Yeah.
I can have Mad Max without Mel Gibson.
I know, but it's really... He actually gave his blessing for it because he
saw
it.
Did he even use him as a walk-on or anything?
No. He gave his blessing because he was like, yeah, it's really cool. He's just, too old for the part, and they want to kind of make it live on. But
and they wanted it to do some business.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably
another
part of it, too.
That was huge in the news.
Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, the thing I liked about the new Mad Max was that it was mostly done in camera, so it's a lot of really good cinematography. There's not a lot of digital effects in it, just very, very minimal digital effects. And the fact that they were able to do all that stunts, live on cameras is really
badass.
That's
cool. I like
very
that.
Very impressive stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
and,
cool.
It's kind of a rah-rah, girls are awesome type thing, which is kind of annoying, but... For guys, that is, but overall, it was a very good movie.
Didn't that start with the Tina Turner one, though?
Yeah. I didn't like that one. I didn't like Thunder.
Yeah.
It was lame.
I wanted to ask Mel Gibson what's love got to do with it.
Right. I just love that Mel Gibson came out and said, I remember the Rolling Stone cover when that movie was coming out. He's like, this movie's going to be a piece of shit. And I'm like, wow. Wow. I was like, S-H star T. Right. Like, holy crap.
Dollar sign
H. Yeah. Because he was just that way. He's like, I don't give a fuck, whatever. The movie's going to be a piece of shit.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah.
He didn't care.
His mouth got him in trouble a lot.
Especially recently. Jeez. Yeah,
exactly.
Mel's got to learn to shut up.
Shut up, Mel. Most actors, they have a contract that they have to promote the movie.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, you should just say don't.
Yeah.
You have a contract, you're not allowed
to
promote
the
movie.
You're just going to say bad things about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
What was the last movie he's done? I can't even think of a movie
he did
in.
That one with Jodie Foster with the puppet thing.
Oh, yeah. He directed
that,
too.
The trailer looked really good, but I never had the gall to actually
I heard it was
watch
good.
It
actually got good reviews and stuff. I just never saw
did
it.
Did he direct or did she direct it?
Maybe he did. I don't know. We'll have to look it up.
I think she wrote it and maybe he directed it.
I have no idea.
He's another one. He's like Costner. He's actually a really good director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Braveheart was great. That one that I thought
Passion
I would
of the
kill
Christ.
Myself.
Passion of the Christ.
It's the Indian one.
Oh, Apocalypto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not want to see that. Somebody made me watch it. It was actually good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very entertaining for what it was, yeah.
I never saw The Passion of the Christ.
It's a beatdown.
I've read the book, so I don't know. I knew how it was going to end.
This is a pretty, they cut a lot of the book out. It's just pretty much the last chapter of the...
Okay, gotcha.
It's kind of that's all it is, really.
Kind of like Tombstone. It's just that one part of why...
Exactly, right, yeah. Just kind of cut everything else. Just get the good parts. I just want to watch Jesus get his ass kicked for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to watch it.
Brutal. Brutal movie. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll come back
for
the last
third. You've got a movie review.
I do.
And I've got a tiny movie review.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back. What?
You know who wrote that?
Huh?
You know who wrote this song?
No, who wrote the song?
Randy Newman, of all people.
Randy Newman wrote this song? I did not know that.
I did not know that.
All right,
stuff.
That's really weird, wild stuff. Yeah.
You are correct, sir. Sorry.
All right, so we're back for the last.
Bring back Johnny Carson. They're going to start showing him again, late at night and stuff.
Oh, are they?
That's
on what?
Be awesome. I don't know. Can't remember, but they're going to show old episodes that haven't aired since the original.
That's cool. That's cool.
Awesome. I loved Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny Carson was the best, man.
He
so
was awesome.
We're back for the last third of the Romeo
aging room
combination thing,
pepperoni and anchovy.
Yes, and
deluxe.
It's a spicy meatball. Have we really
is.
Only smoked a third of it?
I don't want to smoke much faster. It's it's starting to get to me.
It's a little, yeah.
I haven't had a
spicy
cigar in two
really?
Days. Yeah.
Wow, I had five today already. No, I'm just kidding. You'd think
it was
that
phone call day, so I was at the house.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, you have a movie review.
I do have one.
I
have
a movie review.
I have a couple of movie reviews.
And then
I have
a tiny movie review.
A movie review and a TV review. So I went and saw Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and it was a blast. It was a veritable blast.
Dude, I started to do the Halloween theme. Why so much in a pop?
Wait a minute, that's Halloween again.
That is Halloween again. They're very similar. John Carpenter stole
right from Lalo Schifrin. Yeah, no, I, you know, give Tom Cruise his props for actually making movies that are highly entertaining. But you know, the guy's had his has ups and downs with the whole Scientology thing and jumping on couches. But
and just being a general douche.
Yeah, my wife and I went and saw that, not expecting much. You know, I heard really good reviews, but I'm like, okay, did they buy those reviews? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And it was a blast. I mean, the fact that he's kind of like the American version of Jackie Chan now, because he does all his own stunts, and it's ridiculous the stuff this guy did in that movie.
Cool.
Being at the age
of, I give him respect
for
that.
250 mile an hour motorcycle chases with no helmets and stuff. I'm like, holy crap! Like,
once he got him in the early 50s,
zipping
right?
through cars. Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. He did the whole thing in the beginning where he's like holding onto the plane and like just.
He did that?
Flying. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, you know?
I'm sure it was like 20 feet off the ground.
No,
made it
was like
figured.
In the. No, they, really? They talked about it. Like, he filmed it. They had to get it. You know, they had the stunt guy do it a couple times, tell him how to do it. They had harnesses on him, so if he let go, he would still hang on the plane. But, you know, he's up there. He was doing it.
Wow.
So it's well, pretty crazy.
Peter Costner did all his stunts in Waterworld, actually.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Did all the swimming underwater and all that stuff. Yeah. That's the other thing that there's a scene in Rogue Nation where. He has to hold his hold his breath for like 3 minutes, and they said that on the set he actually held his breath for 6 minutes before he passed out underwater. So when he passes out underwater in the scene, is actually him passing out underwater. I'm like, wow, that's pretty scary stuff.
I've never said he's not a dedicated filmmaker. Yeah. I would never say that. I just he annoys the crap out of me.
He does too. Yeah, he annoys me too.
See, I never even watched the TV show, so the movies have never intrigued me at all. My dad watched Man from U.N.C.L.E., so I might be interested in watching a little of that movie, but. But were you a Mission Impossible fan as a kid?
Yeah, I watched it when I was a kid, yeah.
Is that Peter Graves?
Peter Graves, yeah.
You know who his brother was, don't you?
I do.
James Arnaz.
Yeah, I know.
Matt Dillon.
That's pretty crazy.
Not Matt Dillon from My Bodyguard.
No, no, no. Which is a great movie, by the way.
It's a good movie.
With the not related to the other Baldwin.
Yeah.
Adam.
Yeah, who was on Chuck.
Yep. Yep.
That guy's had a good career. He's
that guy
lasted.
Has had a good career. Yeah, he was on...
Chris Makepeace sure as hell didn't last.
No, Makepeace doesn't done shit. I haven't seen Chris. Dude, I loved that movie when I was a kid.
That
was
movie
great
changed
movie.
My life when I saw that
I
movie.
I know. I was like, I need a bodyguard. That's awesome.
Awesome. I'd kick everyone's... I'd get everyone's asses kicked in the stool.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Back to Mission Impossible. Sorry. No.
But no, very, very good. And what I love about those is just the skullduggery and all the twists and turns and the plot and stuff. And it actually had a very good plot and was well done. The bad guy was creepy. It was entertaining. So if you want a good popcorn movie and you haven't seen it yet, I know it's done killer box office, so that's good. But it was very, very entertaining. I enjoyed
it.
See,
I will watch that before I will watch a Jack Reacher movie.
Well, because he was just grossly miscast for that role.
miscast. Good for him that he brought it to the screen.
Yeah.
But you don't have to play it.
Yeah.
Bring it to the screen and hire some young guy that's bigger.
Yeah,
you know,
Liam Neeson could have played Jack Reacher better than you know, he's old, but
you know,
still, he's like, more the size of the guy.
You know, when they describe Jack Reacher, not that this guy's ever been a badass or anything, but just height, weight, and look. Remember the tall, dark-haired guy on Wings, Tim Daly?
Yeah,
that's what Jack Reacher's supposed to be. He's supposed to be about 6'4", 6'5", 230, dark hair. You know, that's what he's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to just be a general badass because he was a military policeman and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Tom Cruise is 5'1".
Yeah, exactly.
In his 50s.
Yeah. <You know>? Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd see Mission Impossible before. And they've got another stupid Jack Reacher coming out, too.
Yeah, he's got a second one coming out. Yeah. And he's actually got a sequel to another one that I actually liked from him recently. And this is, you know, and for my Tom Cruise history is I hated Tom Cruise like, growing up. I just thought like he was the guy that did the same role in like 15 movies. It's like I'm the best at everything. I'm the best fighter pilot. And like if you think about it,
I'm the best.
Yeah, like Top Gun and Days of Thunder are basically remakes. It's like the same movie.
Yeah.
You know, his friend gets killed and then he has no confidence in driving again. It's like it was Top Gun. You know,
yeah.
He just made the same movie like 15 times. But then he started, you know, Born on the 4th of July. Started to try and act, and he did his version of Dances with Wolves with Last Samurai. So, which is basically Dance with the Samurais. You know,
yeah.
So yeah,
Roger Ebert even said I liked it better when it was called Dances.
Lance of the Wolves, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no.
Edge of Tomorrow was highly entertaining sci-fi. It was very smart and funny. Great cast with him and Emily Blunt. They really
that one seems
well
interesting.
Off each other. pardon me.
Tom Cruise, I liked him in, what's the football one? All the Right Moves.
Yep.
But he was great in that. And Craig T. Nelson played a coach for the first time in that one. I got to see Leigh Thompson naked. So
that's
cool. That's
a bonus, yeah.
And you get to see his boner, actually, if you
If you
pause
look,
it,
because
I had a friend that paused it.
Tom Cruise's boner, you'll see it in there. Yeah.
You can see his boner. Why do I want to see
it?
There it is.
Thanks,
Tom.
Great. Thanks a lot. And I thought he was good in Risky Business, and that was a big, big
Risky Business
for him.
Was fine. I hated fun. Top Gun because that's all I heard at school. Top Gun, Top Gun, Top Gun. So when I watched it, I was like, really? This is what everyone's talking about? Mm. If I'd have watched it on my own, I might have liked it.
That's like me and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When Ferris Bueller's
same,
Day Off
same
came
thing.
Out.
Couldn't, it was like,
everybody saw it. Everybody was talking about it. I heard all the funny parts before I went and saw it, and I was like, meh. It's okay.
It's okay. I mean, okay. Glad I watched it, but I don't care if I ever see it again.
Yeah.
It was color money when I wanted to kill him. I just, you know. First of all, that's an iconic role that Paul Newman's playing.
Yep.
He's revisiting Eddie, Fast Eddie, and you get this jackwad trying to upstage him in the movie. It's like.
Yeah, but he was supposed to. I mean, he did the role the way he's supposed to do it. Though.
Yeah.
You got to give him credit for portraying that jackwad.
And I'd like to be able to say, well, the book, it was different. Well, yeah. The book and the movie aren't the same at all. Newman didn't like the book.
Yeah.
And so he pretty much rewrote, even though he got no credit for it, Newman pretty much rewrote the movie.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't like anything about the book.
Yeah.
So some of the characters are the same, names and stuff. But matter of fact, in the book, Jackie Gleason, the Minnesota Fats.
Yeah.
Was in the second one.
Yeah.
He's not in this one. But, he was just, I just wanted to drive me nuts. Mm-hmm. And then I loved A Few Good Men. Great movie.
Yeah.
Except for, and I thought he was really good in it, except for that pouty face he makes when he says, I want the truth. Those cheeks start jiggling and shit. I'm like, dude, I'm going to kick your ass. I want Nicholson to just get up and out of that chair and beat the living fuck out of you.
I was listening to a podcast with Kevin Pollak, and he talks about how he was talking, it was Kevin Pollak. Who is he talking to? I forget it was Kevin Smith, I think, and who's stoned off his mind all the time now. But but they were talking about his acting career and how he started doing movies and stuff, and you know, he's doing his thing, and for A Few Good Men he's like on the set for like a couple of weeks, and he's like, I keep feeling like I don't belong here, like I'm just waiting to get fired, you know, and he's just like waiting for someone to tell him, you know, whatever. And he finally had to, you know, he'd always kind of walk up to Jack Nicholson to talk to him, but he'd never have the balls to do it because Jack Nicholson would just like yell at people for no reason. And he's like, fuck, he's like my icon. I want to talk to him. And so he did a scene and he's talking to Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise was like, this is a great Tom Cruise story, actually, too. Tom Cruise had this pin, and he's like, the pin was like as big as Tom Cruise. It was a huge pin. It was like just this monster pin. And, you know, he's asking Tom Cruise about it. He's like, why do you have this pin? He's like, oh, well, they only make it here. It's, you know, one place you can buy it. It's like a $5,000 pin. It's like, what the fuck do you need a $5,000 pin for? He's like, write with it. He's like, all right, whatever. So he writes with it. He's like, this is the best fucking pin in the world. He's like, this pin's fucking awesome. He's like, exactly. Why would you not have? You have money? Because you make money. He's like, no, I live in an apartment down the street. You have money. He's I'm not buying a $5,000 pin. So the next day he comes to the set. He has a present from Tom Cruise. It's the fucking
pin.
That's
cool. That was a nice one.
You know, and he's like, shit. So he goes to the set the next day, and Tom Cruise is writing notes. He's doing a thing, and he's writing the notes with his little Bic, and he's like, where's the pin? He's like, I love the pen, but I'm not going to use it. That's a $5,000 pen.
That's staying in the drawer.
I got you the pen to use the pen. So the next day comes to study, he's got another pen. And he uses it, and Jack Nicholson stole it. Nice. The one time he talks to Jack Nicholson, this is a nice pen. He steals it.
I'll take that.
I'm taking it. But he said he finally got to talk to Jack Nicholson, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I feel like I don't belong. And he's like, how long have you been acting? He's like, I'm a comedian. This is really my first, you know, real acting job. He's like, goes, dude, you're doing things that actors go to school to do. He's like, when you played that scene, he goes, you just played it just the way, like, you know, Dustin Hoffman would play it or blah, 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 blah. He's like, what did you do to play that scene? He goes, I just said the lines. He's like, that's all I did.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
like, goes, that's exactly what it is. He's like, you didn't overact. You said the lines in the most natural way possible, and that makes you a good actor. And he's like, wow. And Jack Nicholson, to tell him that, is like, to hear that from Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, because what was I reading? I was reading something that was saying, it was just this morning, too, and I'm glad you mentioned that. I was talking about this guy. Oh, some acting critic was saying, I like to be able to look at an actor, and I can tell what form and technique he's using. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, to me, that isn't acting to me.
Yeah.
I want you to say the lines and make me believe it. That's all I care about. I don't care what technique you're using. I don't care what, you know, style, whatever. Mm-hmm. Did you say the line in a way that it affected me?
Yeah.
Then you're a good actor. That's all I care about.
Exactly.
You don't have to be stylistically trained. And that's why, like Meryl Streep, you can say, oh, people watch Meryl Streep. Oh, she's a good actress. I'm not going to say she's not. I mean, who would say Meryl Streep's not a good actress? She's a good actress. But is she, like, that great that she gets nominated for
everything?
Fucking thing?
Yeah.
No, she's not that great.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, to me, I don't know his style. I don't know the styles of acting. Tom Hanks to me is my kind of actor. He just says the line, he makes you believe
Tom,
it.
And people have compared Tom Hanks to Jimmy Stewart, and I agree because they both are very naturalistic actors. Yeah. It's like they're saying it the way they would say it in real life. Uh-huh. They're not bigger than life. Because, and Jack Nicholson, this is the other thing he told him. He's like, look, you don't want to ogre. The way you're doing it now is perfect because you got to remember this is going to be, you know, you have a close-up, you say your line, the minimal way you can say it, the way that it sounds natural to you, because that's going to be, you know, on a 50-foot screen, 70-foot screen, mm-hmm. and then any flaw that you had in the way you said it's going to be magnified. Because the way you're doing it now is fine. Yeah. Don't do anything more.
Yeah.
He's like, you're doing acting by not acting, and that's what people pay thousands of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn. So.
That's cool. That's great that Nicholson would say that, especially to a newbie.
Exactly,
like that,
you know.
Had him in a world of
good
for him to hear that, you know. That's kind of cool. I remember when Nicholson was telling me how good of an actor I was. That was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah. That's cool. He told me the other day, too.
It was Bob Nicholson, but nevertheless.
I remember when Jack Nicklaus told me I was pretty good.
Jack Nicklaus said I was a good actor, too. Terrible golfer, he said.
You suck at golfing. Don't do that, but you're a pretty good actor because you told me you could golf, and you can't golf.
Yeah, I believed you, though.
I thought,
hey, you can play. Hey, Arnie, let's get these two guys to play with us.
Right.
Jack, I thought you said these guys were...
He's a pretty good actor. He told you, I believed him. He sucks.
Remember the old Tootsies?
Yeah.
Steve Martin, you know, and Victoria Jackson, and Kev the car wreck.
Yeah.
Thought you said he could drive. I thought he could. You know, but... No, that's got to be cool for Pollock to have gotten
that.
Yeah,
that's real cool stuff, yeah.
Well, I've got a movie review.
Okay. Well, I've got another one, too.
Go ahead. You do yours, and we'll do mine.
So I saw a movie that was really fun that I've been waiting on for a while. I like this guy's writing style better than I liked his acting style or directing style. Mm-hmm. But it's Joe Carnahan, who did Smoke and Aces, which I thought was a fun, crazy movie.
Yeah.
And this one's called Stretch. Have you seen Stretch?
Mm-mm.
So it's got...
Yes, I have seen
Stretch. You saw Stretch?
Yeah.
The one where he plays a limo driver,
yes,
and his
yes.
like, girlfriend dumps him.
Yeah.
And, goes on this adventure.
Weird movie, but I
like
it.
It was weird, but it was hilarious, man. I cracked up in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen Stretch yet, it is a blast. It's got a ton of people in it.
That's a thumbs up.
It's got a Brooklyn Decker in it. It's got Chris Pine, who plays just the most bizarre role.
Yeah.
He's so weird in that role. And if you watch past the credits, there's all kinds of bloopers, and Chris Pine just like was ad-libbing and screwing stuff up, and they're cracking up like crazy. So it is a fun, fun movie.
Well, not that Aniston and Nicholson are the same level of actor.
Yeah.
But in that Adam Sandler movie, Brooklyn Decker and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
She'd never acted before at all.
Yeah.
Decker. And she kind of did the same thing to Aniston. She says, I don't know. I'm feeling lost. She says, you're doing great, man. Mm-hmm. Just be yourself. Say your lines. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of happened that way. But
that's cool.
It's good to see that they're not snobs. That they'll help.
Exactly.
They
got
to remember the time that they were scared out of their mind trying to do something.
And Jessica Alba's in this movie, too. And I'm not a big Jessica Alba fan. I think she's overrated. But she does very little in the movie.
There's times where she's kind of hot. And there's times where she can act a little bit. But
For the most part, she's just kind of this secondary character that kind of just pushes the story along. But she doesn't have to do a whole lot. And she fits in that role. So it was a very entertaining, highly entertaining, fun movie. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch. It's pretty out there, pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like those kind of movies for the most part, but I like that movie. It was weird enough that it got me, and it was really cool.
Entertaining, yeah. And Ed Helms is hilarious in it. I loved his backstory.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you what happens, but his backstory is great. And then you see him later on in the movie, and it's just awesome.
Ed Helms is great.
He is very underrated.
Yeah. And that's a segue for me, because I watched Vacation.
Oh, okay.
New Vacation. And they try to make it different in that it's Rusty grown up.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just made it a reboot, because it's really, he's playing Clark. He's not really playing Rusty.
Okay.
But I said, and when I clarified it, you got what I meant. The only two people that really could have even tried to pull that off nowadays would have been Carell or Ed Helms.
Yeah.
Because they were playing Clark, and they weren't playing Rusty.
Yeah.
If you're playing Rusty, then Ed Helms. I couldn't see Steve Carell playing Rusty, but I can see Ed Helms. But no, they're just playing Clark, and... I've never disliked Christine Applegate, but I've never been a fan of hers either. She's okay. She fits sometimes.
Yeah.
She didn't fit. Beverly D'Angelo brought something to her role. Christine Applegate didn't really bring anything to it.
What I found fault in that casting was that I thought Beverly D'Angelo was perfect for that role because she was the straight man to Clark.
Yeah.
And Beverly D'Angelo hadn't really been in comedy movies at that point. She was more of a dramatic actor.
Right.
So it worked.
Yeah.
And Christine Applegate is a goofy. She's
been in comedy.
She overdoes the goofy stuff, and you can tell she's acting.
Yeah.
She's never really... and legit to me. I don't know. She doesn't come across as natural to me.
And it was like they wanted to copy enough of the movie to make you feel, or the first one to make you feel it.
Yeah.
But then they wanted to do something totally different. And that's where they ran out of creative juices.
Yeah, I heard the gross so out
all
factor
they did,
was...
Yeah, so all they did was just gross you out and do stupid shit, you know, like that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not a big fan of the first Vacation.
Oh, really? Okay.
I love Christmas Vacation a lot.
Yeah, Christmas
to me,
Vacation
that's the best one.
Yeah, I think so, too.
The first couple were okay. Granted, there's moments. But, you know, the Wally World thing with John Candy wins that movie over for me. They salvaged that movie...
At that point.
That, at that point. It was awesome.
Yeah, gunpoint.
Yeah, that was...
making him go to the damn rides.
Yeah, that was awesome. And it really... You don't really get that. Of course, there's nobody of John Candy's magnitude on the planet right now. But
Yeah,
it was okay. It's worth a watch, but I would not watch it in the theater.
Yeah.
Well, it comes out on DVD or on demand or something like that and watch it then. But,
that's too bad. That's too bad. I was hoping good things for
but
that.
Good thing. Thumbs up to Ed Helms, though. He's the best thing about that movie by far, and it's worth watching it just to see him because he was really good.
Yeah.
He's so underrated. That dude's funny.
He is. He's a good actor.
They were so smart in The Office when they realized Carell was going to be segueing out to start putting more emphasis on him because he's really just has that ability to be goofy. Well, you know, he was on The Daily Show, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's where Carell got started. That's where he got started. And you can sense that comedy that they've got. But I did see a movie. And we have a news story real quick.
Okay.
It's a movie called Twin Creek.
Okay.
And it was a Bigfoot found footage movie.
All right.
And, you know, we're Bigfoot guys. We like Bigfoot.
That's the one directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Spoiler alert. You spoiled my story.
All right, let's start over.
We had reported several months ago that there was a Bobcat Goldthwait found footage Bigfoot movie coming out.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Shut up. Bang, zoom. Pow! Right in a kiss. But, so I'm watching it, and I'm about a third of the way through it, and I'm thinking... Oh, this reminds me. When this is over, I need to look up that Bobcat Goldthwait found footage Bigfoot movie because it just started. You know, they don't do credits or anything. It just starts, you know. Solid movie. I didn't really get into the characters as much as I wanted to. I think for found footage, you have to really care about the characters in order for it to, or at least have one to really be pulling for. And they kind of do it with the guy. The girl's a little whiny. It's this couple. They're out in the woods. What they're trying to do is recreate... You know, that famous Bigfoot thing?
Yeah.
And the foot, that thing.
Was it a Bruder film? Yeah.
No.
About Bigfoot?
What's it called? I knew it until I started talking about it. They wanted to go and shoot there. Well, all the locals don't want them to.
Oh, okay.
You know, they want to keep them off, you know. So they stay out in the woods, and they're trying to find, you know, the spot where this footage happened. And they start getting tortured throughout the night, you know, rocks thrown at their tent while they're trying to sleep. So there's some creepy stuff going on. Last 20 minutes are awesome. The first hour and 10, you're like, okay, all right. Last 20 minutes, you're like, you really get the chills and stuff. Mm-hmm. So then the first thing it says at the end was, written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. Oh, this was the one. I guess I don't have to find that one. This one was it.
Right.
I'm glad that he's doing stuff like that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
have you seen any of his other stuff? His stuff that's like really
dark? I saw
the
Robin Williams one.
Yeah, The World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
That was rough.
That was especially because I saw it after the...
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, he's done some good movies, man. Mm-hmm. He did one called God Bless America that's got Murray's brother.
Bill Murray?
No, not Brian Doyle.
Oh, the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Joel Murray.
Joel.
So Joel Murray is in this, and it's written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. And here's the description. On a mission to rid society of the most repellent citizens, terminally ill Frank makes an unlikely accomplice in 16-year-old old Roxy. And basically, they go on a killing spree. Mm. And it is highly entertaining. Very dark comedy.
What's it called again?
It's called God Bless America. If you haven't seen it, see it. It is very, very
I think that was in my queue on Netflix for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Joel Murray really brings it, and it's a funny movie in a very dark way. I mean, I was laughing through the whole thing. My wife was laughing through the whole thing, but I think it's one of those ones that, you know, kind of like Gross Point Blank, where I saw Gross Point Blank in the theater, and I thought it was hilarious, and everybody in the theater is like quiet, and I'm like, oh, shit, we shouldn't be laughing at this, I guess, or something. I don't know.
I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, I thought the movie was great. So, but similar to that in humor style, you know, it's got those crafty one-liners.
What happened to her?
Stuff.
What happened to Joan Cusack? You don't see her much in anything.
I don't know.
She was hilarious.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
She's great.
Adam's Family, too. That's all. She was in that.
I thought she was great in My Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shoes. They're tragic. Great movie.
Capisce?
You make my ears hurt when you
say it. It's capisce. You make my ears hurt when you say it. It's a great movie.
Great movie.
It's one of those ones that, man, it came out in the theater and it bombed. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing the whole freaking time I saw it in the theater. And there was like six people in the theater and no one was laughing. I'm like, oh, what? Come on. This movie's brilliant.
I couldn't stand it. I watched it for one time. Couldn't stand it.
Really?
Get Married, my ex-wife's like, I'm going through her movie collection. I'm like, you have My Blue Heaven.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God, that movie's terrible. She's like, no, it's good. Blah, blah. So I'm like, well, I watched it really late one night. I said, I'll give it a shot. Man, I was laughing. I'm like, how come I didn't like this movie?
I don't know. I think a lot of that goes to how you, where you are cinematically at that time, where your personality is. And it's a lot of, you know, same thing with cigars. I mean, it's with the mood you're in. If you're in the right mood, you can really enjoy a cigar. If you're in a bad mood, that cigar's going to suck, you know. But a cigar can change your mood, too. You can get a bad mood and have a great cigar. You know it's going to be a great cigar, and it can change your mood. Mm-hmm. But it kind of works that way with movies, too. Yeah. If you go into a movie knowing, this movie's going to suck, I'm going to hate it. Guess what? You're going to freaking hate it. I mean, chances are you're not going to like it.
Exactly.
And I've had several instances in my lifetime where people wanted to go see this movie, and you've been there, too. Mm-hmm. We're all going to go see this. Like, oh, I don't want to freaking see that. That's going to suck. And then you go see it, and you're just like, whining the whole time. And everybody's like laughing and having a good time. And you're like, this movie horrible.
It sucks.
Then you see it later and you're like, we went back.
I was like, not bad.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just a weird thing.
It is. We're just all programmed.
Yeah.
We get predisposed.
Exactly.
To like something.
There's certain actors that I just, you know, I don't want to watch a movie with them because I can't stand them.
Yeah,
so.
I'm that way. Yeah. Tom Cruise.
Julia Roberts. I can't watch movies with her in them. Horse face just makes me want to punch her.
But every now and then I'll watch a movie with her in it.
Another one I can't stand.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a few. Meryl Streep, I'm not big on her.
Really? Yeah.
You know. And every time I'm driving to Houston and I drive over a bridge in Madison County, because there's a Madison County, Texas, and you drive over a bridge just as you pass that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking,
damn it, Clint, why'd you make that movie?
What are you doing, Clint? At least get somebody hot.
Let's kill somebody in that damn movie. What the hell? You know?
Let's kill her.
You didn't shoot anybody. What the hell?
Once you realize, wait a minute, she's old and fat. Boom.
Right.
She's old and fat, and she dumped me. Boom. Instead, he's crying in the rain watching her.
Like, God.
Oh, God, Clint.
Damn you, Clint. Can't even smoke a cigar right anymore. What the hell's wrong with you?
But it is funny. The second you says entering Madison County, and you go over this little bridge, like, really? I wonder if that sign was supposed to be in a different area, and they thought, no,
let's put it right here next to the bridge. Women are passing over it crying. Men are like, jeez. God. I gotta watch this friggin' movie again because she's gonna sit here crying in the car.
That's when I knew I loved my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Because we watched that.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be nice and rent it for her. Because I figured, it's a chick thing. I rented it and bring it home. She's like, what'd you get? I go, got you something for you to watch. Bridges of Madison County. She goes, what? She goes, I read the book and hated it. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. Woman's a slut. Stuff. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. Fucking cheats on her husband, all this good stuff. I'm like, I could go get something else. She goes, no, let's give it a shot. Let's watch it, man. She hated it more than I did. I was like, I like her. She's cool. I got her a chick movie.
It's like me with The Notebook. I'm like, that movie's about a whore.
Exactly.
Everybody's like crying. She just like cheated on her ex and her fiance for no good reason. The guy wasn't mean to her. Didn't beat her nothing. Just, you know.
Yeah.
What's his name's hotter, so I'm going to cheat on my fiance with this guy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Like, wow, that's great. She's a hero. Like, no, she's a slut.
She's got Alzheimer's. That means she's not.
Right. Jeez. The only reason I cried that movie is because it had Rockford Files in it.
That was a touching scene.
That was a very touching scene.
Yeah. When he was reading to her. That's
not okay
awesome.
To cry at that movie, by the way. But if there's an animal dying, it's fine.
Or if you're going to get laid later.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's okay to tear up.
At least do some crocodile tears or something.
Just pinch your nutsack. Just a little bit. I don't ever recommend you do that.
No. I'll read to you.
What was that Joey did? He like had the tweezers in his pocket or something. The last Friends reference ever on the show.
On the show. Wow.
I know, right? Yeah, but we do it on cinema.
We'll do it on cinema for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna review. Cinema actually is going to be, we're going to review every single episode of Friends. It's going to be a segment of the show. We're going to start at the beginning, and at the end of every episode, we're going to review a single episode of Friends.
You just lost every one of our listeners. Yeah, thanks for promoting the show. So remember when Rachel ran in the dress and the wedding gown?
Right. And I said, I hate that chick. Can't stand her.
I just won $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
All right. So where can they find us? Not that it matters anymore.
Well, on cinema, you'll be able to find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah. Do we have
Maybe
Twitter
Maybe YouTube.
We have to figure out the Twitter thing. I don't think we have Twitter for cinema.
You can just tweet the podcast, the Podomatic link.
We need to figure out something. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, but But yeah, but you know, go to the YouTube page. We'll have cinema there. It'll be on iTunes in the same place. So,
yep.
Join us on cinema. We'll still be smoking cigars and talking about movies and stuff. Maybe we'll do a everyone saw.
Aren't we at cinema on Twitter?
I don't know.
We were.
I don't know. We'll have to look that
up. I'm at Randy Rankin 43.
Yep. At Captain Funky Pants.
On Instagram, I'm AJF Randy.
And I'm PDR underscore Brandon.
And maybe we should do an Instagram.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll let you know. Anyway, thanks, guys. It's been fun smoking with you all this time.
It has been great smoking with you all these 217, 18 episodes, whatever
it was.
It's been
fun. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have a quick story real quick.
Okay.
At IPCPR.
Are you going to cry?
No.
IPCPR. Okay, go ahead.
Day that we're all setting up.
Yeah.
Remember the last few episodes when my hair was all bushy and shit?
Yep.
I had 8 people come up to me that I'd never met in my life come up and say, oh, you got a haircut? That was kind of awesome.
That's
so
cool.
Thank you guys for those 8 people that have watched the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we had a guy that was helping us at the booth, and he comes over. He's like, hey, man, by the way, I want to let you know your show's really funny. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, the clips on the guard, man, that thing's hilarious. I'm like, oh, thanks, man.
That's cool.
It's always kind of cool to get recognized for that.
But so maybe we'll get some cinema fans.
Maybe we will, yeah.
All right.
It's been great smoking with you guys.
See you later, Brandon.
See you never. All right, we're out of here.